It's time to spin the big wheel of Babel and see where we land today. Chances are pretty good it's going to be stupid people, bad government, or hey, what do they actually make bologna out of anyway? And why is it so expensive? It's just how we do things here on the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. What a lovely day this is. It's not so lovely for many people. For others, it's not so bad. You know, it's funny, I love to be followed as far as the program is concerned. I hope you follow the show. But I don't like to be followed if I'm walking down the street and there's somebody behind me ducking behind garbage cans so they can't be seen. I don't like that kind of following. That's called stalking. I also don't like the kind of following when you're driving on the highway and a car is basically on your bumper. That's called tailgating, and I don't like that. Although tailgating isn't so bad for people who go to football games, then it's a good thing. They open up the trunk of their car and take a little barbecue grill out of it, and they eat in the parking lot. That's not good either, although some people like that. Okay, have a good day. I really don't understand tailgating. I don't go to football games because there's a lot of people there. I don't go to places where there's a lot of people. It's kind of counterproductive for my social skills. I don't go to places with a lot of people. I'll go to a place like a theater or something to watch a play or a movie because when it starts, people have to shut up. That's okay. That's a mass understanding amongst those that are attending. When it starts, you shut up. So then I can tolerate being amongst other people. But if they don't ever shut up, that's a problem. Like a football game or a sporting event, there's too many people and they never shut up. Why would I go into that knowingly and actually pay money to be there on top of it? Even if it was free, I would not go. I'm sure you don't feel the same way I do, but that's why life is so interesting on the planet. Yeah, so this tailgating thing, I don't understand it. Let's go to the sporting event where they have food. Granted, it's quite expensive, but you knew that. But I'll tell you what, here's what we're going to do. Let's show up a couple of hours before the sporting event. Park our cars in the parking lot, which is where you would park your car, amongst hundreds of other cars. Then we're going to open up the trunk of our car, or the hatchback in the back of the car. And I'm going to break out a barbecue grill. Not a full one, you know, with like 12 burners or anything. You know, like a little hibachi thing. The kind of thing that you would never have in your backyard, but for a sporting event, not a bad idea. Here's what we're going to do. We also going to bring some lawn chairs. Well, don't they have seats at the stadium? Yes, no, this is just for the parking lot. We're going to set up lawn chairs in the parking lot and sit behind the car. Excuse me? What? Yeah, we're bringing lawn chairs, and we're gonna. You're gonna sit on the grass or something. No, we're gonna sit in the parking lot in the scalding hot heat. We're gonna set up the chairs right behind the muffler and exhaust pipe of our car, and we're gonna sit in the parking lot with other cars parked as well. Exhaust fumes all over the place. That's where we're going to set up camp. Well,
couldn't think of a worse place to set up camp.
No, it's tailgating. So we're going to set up the lawn chairs.
Well, are they lawn chairs if they're not sitting on a lawn?
Yeah, that's what you call them.
Wouldn't they be parking lot chairs?
Oh, my God, yes, I guess so. Then I'm going to break out the grill. My wife, Mary, she's made these incredible little crackers with cream cheese, and they put a little olive on top. We're going to have those in the parking lot. And we're going to sit in the lawn chairs behind our car in the parking lot and eat little crackers with cream cheese and a little piece of olive on the top. Then I'm going to light up the hibachi, which is disgusting. It hasn't been cleaned in 7 years. I'm going to make some hot dogs and burgers and some slow-cooked ribs.
You're going to make slow-cooked ribs on your hibachi grill in a parking lot at a sporting event?
Yes. They're so tasty that way. Then I'm going to pack it all up, put it back in the trunk, even the hot smoldering grill. And it's going to be a great time. We have beer. Drink beer. Beer. But we're going to do this all just behind my car in a parking space.
I don't understand it. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
No, there's a camaraderie between other people with their parked cars. And then we go over and we share food.
Why would you share food?
What?
I don't understand the whole tailgating thing. When they call it a tailgate, it's because you set up shop right behind your car. What a lovely idea.
You know, it's a beautiful day outside. We're going to gather the family and the kids. And we're packing lawn chairs. And a little barbecue grill, and we got a cooler and everything. And we're going to get the family, and we got horseshoes, and we've got, we're going to play beanbag games and pickleball. Oh, I love pickleball. And we're going to get in the car on a nice summer day, and we're going to go down to Kohl's, and we're going to get a space in the Kohl's parking lot. And we're gonna have fun right behind the car in the parking lot all day. Want to go?
What, are you crazy?
Yes.
You like pickleball? Before I knew what it was, I didn't know what it was. I couldn't imagine what pickleball was. And someone told me that, it's like tennis. Oh, so what, do you get a jar of pickles and you hit them back and forth over the net? That sounds disgusting and, like, not feasible.
No, Ron, that's not what it has nothing to do with pickles. Oh, well, then we'll call it pickleball if it has nothing to do with pickles. That makes sense.
The hell's wrong with you people? Tailgating in a parking lot. Playing pickleballs where there's no pickles even used. There's no pickles in pickleball. All right. Hey, welcome to the program, by the way. How are you? Good to see you. You're looking good today. I don't know why. Did you shower? Is that what happened? Is that why you look so good? Did you shower? Wow. Yeah, your hair looks decent. Did you wash your hair? You clean up nice. Anytime someone says that to you, hey, you look good today, you clean up nice, walk away, walk away. That's an insult. Walk away. They're insulting you.
It's a veiled insult. You look like shit 24 hours a day. You took a shower. You washed your hair. Now you look passable. That's all that is. Want to play some pickleball? Got a whole jar in the car. All right. Whatever. Yeah, I don't... I'm not, you know, I like people, but only from a distance. Yeah, I'll go to the movies. Yeah, because everybody's quiet at a point. I get it. I don't like crowds otherwise. I tell you, I really don't. Not even for a short period of time. Not even for 3 seconds. I very rarely take an Uber. I don't even know what I just said. Uber, stupid word. Why in the world would I get into somebody else's car? The doors lock, and then I'm under their mercy until they get me to the pier under the bridge and slash my wrists. Why would I voluntarily get into a stranger's car just because they have a sticker on the back window that says Uber? Yes, I'm going to impersonate an Uber driver and put people in the back of my car and drive them to places they don't want to go to. Should be a good time. I'm not getting in somebody else's car. I don't know where they've been. I don't know what kind of stuff has gone on the back seat. Somebody probably threw up back there or something. I can't. I can't get into somebody else's car. I don't even know them. At least when you get in a taxi, there's like an official registration and a little light on the top. I figure if you're going to go to the trouble of putting a light and an advertisement on the roof of the car that says taxi, then you went to some expense. But just to put a little sticker on your windshield, I'm an Uber driver. I'm driving people around now. I'll take you where you want to go, theoretically. No. And I'm not going to be an Uber driver and have people get in my car. I don't want people in my car. I don't even want my family in my car. I keep that thing immaculate. That's my safe haven away from home. Windows go up, doors lock. I can go anywhere I want in solitude. Why would I put strangers in the back of my car? Get out of my car. What are you doing in my... Get out of my car. I'll pay you to be in the back of your car. How much does it cost to be in the back of your car? Well, it depends. I'll make up a price. $2,000. $2,000 to sit in the back of your car? I'm an Uber driver. Yes. Everybody who's in an Uber is scared of the rating points. I don't understand that either. Why is that being introduced into this thing? As sketchy as this whole idea is, now it's like, well, I will rate you positively. Now you're rating the driver, and now you're rating the passenger? You are a very good passenger. I'm going to give you 3 stars. Shut up. Do you understand? I'm the one paying you, and you're rating me? Get the fuck. And then we carry it one step even further than that. As bad as that may be, in my mind, we carry it as far as Airbnb. I don't know what I just said. I don't know where that phrase came from. Air what? What does the air have to do with it? Bed and breakfast? I think that's what originally... I don't even know. But you stay in somebody else's house. I put a sticker on the window in my house saying we were an Airbnb. Oh, okay. First of all, I don't want to stay in somebody else's house. At times, I don't even want to stay in my house. Most people stink, have some type of insect problem, or I just, why am I staying in somebody? There's hotel rooms. I know they're overpriced, but seriously, it's better than staying in somebody else's house? What are you talking about? Worse than that, somebody staying in your house. That's not right. Yeah, here's a complete stranger, is a serial killer, just killed 12 people last week in one day. You don't know that. How would you know that? It's not like they walk around with on the forehead it says serial killer with the number of people they killed, crossed off over the eyebrows. They don't do that. Usually serial killers don't talk a lot about their occupation. It's usually not on the resume.
Sure, Airbnb, sure, we'll take anybody. We'll do a background check. Turn around. All right, your background looks fine.
Yeah, you can stay in my house. Yeah. I don't know if you're going to trash my house, vandalize it, rob me blind, but sure, come on in. Hungry? I'm just going to stay in one of your bedrooms. Okay, but could you put some pants on, please? Stop walking around my house without any pants. This is an Airbnb, isn't it? Yes, it is. I did pay you, didn't I? Yes, you did. I'm walking around without pants. I can't. I can't, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I know 99.9999% of the time it always works out okay. Never just fine, but okay. It's that one percentage of the 99.999 where it doesn't, and that's where it's not going to work out for me. No, you're not sleeping in my house. You're not getting in my car. And I'm not going to join you near the exhaust pipe of your vehicle to have a sandwich. Other than that, everything's fine. I know a lot of you do this stuff. I know it. I know. I know. You know, when you go overseas, you know where you stay? In a hostel. A hostel. That word doesn't sound right for me. Where'd you stay in Europe and in France? Where'd you stay? In a hostel. Oh, the people were hostile? No, that's where I stayed. In a hostile environment. In a hostile community. What were they angry about? Why were they so angry? Why were they acting so hostile? Oh, that's the name of the place. Oh, gosh. Oh. People are weird. You people are weird. I don't know where you get the stuff from. I have an interesting guest. Well, it's your opinion. You have to rate the guest. Let's play rate the guest today, okay? I'm going to have a guest. You rate them. I'm sure they'll love that. I was on Van Damme's show. What'd you get as a rating? 2. Oh, that's too bad. I know. They rated me. Yeah, that's what happens. That's what happens when you put yourself out there. People will rate you. It's crazy. Rate people in a car. I don't know what Uber means. Is it German for slasher or German for I'll take you anywhere I want and charge you any amount of money I want? No, Ron, that's regulated. Ubers are regulated. Okay. I see. They're regulated. Oh, okay. There's another company in the area that I live in called Lyft, which makes a little bit more sense. Can you give me a Lyft? Sure. That makes sense, although they don't spell it L-I-F-T. They spell it with a Y, I believe. I'm not sure. I haven't done any research for this program whatsoever, by the way. Could you tell that? I do no preparations at all. That's the fascinating thing about this production. I don't check anything out. I'm not talking politics or anything. I just don't check it out. It's my impression of things. That's the thesis that we operate under. Because in real life, we don't check things out. We hear things, and that's good enough for us. That's how they wrote the Bible. All right, you're getting religious. Let's stop it. My guest joins us momentarily, but first, we're going to take a quick commercial break. It's very important that we do have commercial breaks because it's one of the ways in which I'm financially remunerated for this program. I know what you're saying. I get it.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV. I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make your placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
David Mitchell joins us now. He's the president and founder of Patients for Affordable Drugs. And guess what we're going to be talking about? Recently, President Biden and the administration actually got a law signed about a month ago in regards to reducing prescription drug costs, and called the Inflation Reduction Act. And this is a quite an accomplishment, David. Let's talk about the prescription drug costs. And thanks for being with us, by the way. Those prices just keep going up, don't they?
Yes, they do. And the fact is that Americans are paying almost four times what people in other wealthy nations pay for the exact same brand name drugs. And the only reason that is that way is because we allow drug companies, brand drug companies, to set prices and to dictate prices to the American people. We're the only country that does that. Every other nation negotiates with the drug companies to get lower prices, but not in this country. However, that's about to change because of the legislation that you referenced that was just signed into law.
Well, thank goodness. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of catching up to the rest of the world is what we're doing here. I think that most of us, if we're adults, have parents that have been through some horrific experiences had they had any physical conditions that required these expensive medications, to the point where I know some families had to make some choices between paying for the prescription drugs and eating differently, et cetera.
Yeah, that's right. And it unfortunately is all too common. You know, in our community, we have people who have had to refinance their home, people who have filed for bankruptcy, people who have racked up huge credit card debt, people who forego the drug that they should be taking and take an inferior drug because the drug that would be best for them is too expensive. These stories happen all the time. One out of three Americans don't take drugs that they are prescribed because they are not affordable.
Wow.
That is bad for their financial health, but it's very bad for their health overall.
Yeah, that only raises the cost of hospitalizations and serious complications. It just doesn't make sense. In any event, we're kind of on the road to correcting that. What if someone says, well, I'm on Medicare or I have good health insurance, so like, why should I care about prescription drug costs because I just do a copay? Well, no, because those prices can go up too, depending on the medication. Is that accurate?
That's absolutely accurate. I'm on Medicare. Just one, I have cancer. I have an incurable blood cancer called multiple myeloma. And just one of my drugs, an oral drug, under the Medicare Part D benefit, costs me more than $16,000 a year out of pocket.
Oh, my God.
Because at present, there is no annual out-of-pocket limit in Medicare Part D. But as a result of the new law that you referenced, the Inflation Reduction Act, starting in 2025, that out-of-pocket annual amount will be capped at $2,000 a year.
I see.
There are other incredible improvements in that legislation. For the first time ever, Medicare will be able to negotiate directly with the drug companies to use its purchasing power to get a better deal for Americans.
Good.
And for the first time ever, there'll be a cap on annual price increases of drugs at no more than the rate of inflation for Medicare. In addition, people who rely on insulin will have their monthly out-of-pocket capped at $35 a month. And starting next year, vaccines under Medicare, like the shingles vaccine, which a lot of people need and take, that used to cost $100 or $200, will be free.
Good.
Many, many improvements are included in the Inflation Reduction Act to help make prescription drugs more affordable.
Wow. It's unbelievable that it took us this long to get there. That's just crazy. One might ask, why are we waiting till 2025? What needs to be done? What things have to go into place for this to work?
The inflation limits on price increases takes effect beginning at the end of this year.
Okay.
The $35 a month cap for people who take insulin takes effect next year in 2023.
Okay.
The free vaccines for Medicare beneficiaries begin in 2023. But it takes time for the Medicare negotiation to begin to take place,
right,
because we've never done this before.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time for all of the people who provide the benefit, the government, the private insurers, et cetera, to change their policies. I would say this to you, that the original Part D drug benefit was enacted in 2003, but didn't take effect until 2006. It generally takes 2-3 years for a change of this magnitude to actually be put in place.
But we will see incremental changes year by year, is what you're saying.
Exactly right.
Very good. All right. Wow. Well, that's good news. Is there anything that the public has to do, or does this all fall into line automatically with whatever they may have?
Well, the public should be aware that the pharmaceutical industry, and unfortunately some Republicans in Congress, are saying that they're going to keep working to repeal the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah.
That is going to lower people's drug prices. Literally, they are saying that. And the pharmaceutical industry is threatening lawsuits. Just last week, the Republican leader issued something called the Commitment to America, where they said they're going to repeal this law if they take back Congress. Right. We cannot let that happen. Because what they will do, if they are successful in repealing this law, is they are going to raise our prices instead of allowing the law to take effect to lower our prices.
God.
So we're going to have to continue to fight.
It's never over. So participation by the public is required in order to make sure that that repeal doesn't take place.
That is correct.
That can also happen through voting, by the way, which is...
That is correct.
Yeah. That might be another way of assuring that. Okay. Where does one go for more information and how they can follow this, or actually maybe do some action involved here?
Yep. Our website is patientsforaffordabledrugs.org, just like it sounds. They can find out more about our organization. We have more than 30,000 stories of patients up on our website, and a way that they can leave their story or leave us their email. We don't ask people for money, but we do like to get their email or their story or both, and they can plug in to make sure that we defend these gains that we've made and actually continue to move toward lower prices.
Yeah, there's no question about it. David, are the titles of these bills a concern or a problem? I mean, Inflation Reduction Act, nobody wants inflation. But if this were a separate bill that was titled the Reduced Prescription Drug Cost Bill, wouldn't have that been a little bit more effective psychologically?
Yeah, that would have been good. But, you know, if I was the world, it would have had a title like that.
Yeah.
But that wasn't within our control.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we have to participate. We can't leave it to other people. So do that through voting and do that through making your voice known, because that's what it's about.
Yep.
Thank you so much for your time today, David. It's been a pleasure.
Well, that'll do it for me today. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful time in whatever you feel that you should be doing at this particular moment. Until next time, I wish you peace.